broadcasting live from the Regis Business Center and office suites at Satellite Place in Duluth, it's time for Gwinnett Business Radio. Gwinnett Business Radio spotlights and highlights companies in Gwinnett County and the people who lead them.
And hello again, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Gwinnett Business Radio. I'm your host, Mike Salmond, alongside, as usual, my co-host, Stephen Julian. Stephen, you look a little perturbed down there at the other end of the table.
I don't know why you think that. I am doing stupendously well.
Doing swimmingly well is usually the end.
Well, yeah. It's been a while since I said that. I'm trying to get other synonyms. My son is studying synonyms, so I'm on a cinnamon. Okay, let's move
and
on.
And with that said, we've got
stupendously
a,
well. Yeah, that's all I wanted to say, Mike.
And that'll be the last thing you said. I'm gonna turn your mic off now. That's we've got a full studio today. Joining us on the show today from Explore Gwinnett, part of the Convention and Visitors Bureau, is Lisa Anders. From the Yoon Law Group, we have Bonnie Yoon. Also joining us today from Paradise. It is. I got too many papers in front of me for this show. That's for sure. Chris Paradise, VP of Sales for Crown Communities, and he's going to be talking about something very exciting today. And also joining us is Mark Slip with Golf for Millions, and that's going to be a very interesting thing to talk about as well. Let's start with Lisa with Explore Gwinnett. Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning, Mike.
Good to see you. Tell us all about Explore Gwinnett. Now, is this the Convention and Visitors Bureau or part of the CVB? How does that all work?
It's actually our new name. We just went through a rebranding process. We've been the Convention and Visitors Bureau for about 20 years. And after 20 years, you would think that people wouldn't know that we were not part of a government agency, but apparently not so much. There's a big.
So you're still in business.
We are actually doing better than ever. There's a big trend in our industry towards getting away from bureaucratic and governmental sounding names. People don't necessarily understand it or appreciate it, and talk about what we want our visitors to do when they come here. So we went through an entire branding process with focus groups and questionnaires and everything, and we came up with Explore Gwinnett. And it's been really well received, because previously our logo, we also run the Gwinnett Center complex, the Gwinnett Center and the arena at Gwinnett Center, our board of directors does. And that was part of our logo, but people sort of perceived that was our only focus. And with Explore Gwinnett, it sort of spreads the focus all across Gwinnett County, and that's really what we wanted to do. So it's been going very well.
Okay, so you do the things that a CVB would do, but you're now called Explore Gwinnett with the new branding. For those that might not be familiar with the Convention and Visitors Bureau, or in this case, Explore Gwinnett, what does your company do?
Well, the short and sweet description is we put heads in beds. We always laugh about it, but it's a great description of what we do. A Convention and Visitors Bureau, our job basically is to bring meetings, events, sports, tournaments, family reunions, weddings. We're not really particular about who we bring. We just want to bring them to Gwinnett County, have them utilize our facilities and our hotels and our restaurants and our shops, spend their money, and go home.
Now, Lisa, you mentioned that a lot of what you do centers around the Gwinnett Convention Center, Gwinnett Arena to Gwinnett. Are there other things beyond that campus that Explore Gwinnett really gets involved in or helps with? Because Heads and Beds spreads beyond just the hotels right around that center.
Oh, absolutely. The Gwinnett Center complex is, we call it, it's our version of the Georgia World Congress Center. It's where the events that are going to sell out the entire county, that's where they are, because it's got the space. But there are facilities all over Gwinnett. We are so lucky. Our number two market is sports. Gwinnett County Parks and Rec, we thank God every single day for them, because their facilities are helping us bring in all types of sporting tournaments. Swanee Sports Academy, the Ice Forum. There's a huge amount of facilities. And the biggest market that we have is actually the faith-based market. So you look at 12 Stone and John Maxwell and Greater Atlanta Christian School, and the number one tourist stop in Gwinnett County, I'm not sure if anybody here could get it, but it's the Hindu Temple in Lilburn. You have thousands of tour groups that go to that temple. So we're really fortunate that we've got a diverse group of facilities in Gwinnett.
And myself, having worked at the Gwinnett Center for a couple of years, I can, you know, stand behind that, saying, you know, we do have world-class facilities. Talk about tourism coming to Gwinnett. How much of an economic impact does that make for the county?
we every time I speak to like a local community group, I always sort of pose that as a question. I ask them how many hotels we have and how many visitors we have and how much money is spent. And people are hilariously and wildly off because people don't necessarily understand the impact of tourism because the tourists in Gwinnett look like the business traveler. You know, they look like your family going to a softball tournament. Well, that softball tournament happens to have 75 teams from out of state. As far as just straight numbers, our economic impact last year was $972 million, almost $1 billion. And it's one of the industries in Gwinnett that Gwinnett County will tell you, we've been on an upswing for the past 3 years. So we're sort of leading the economic recovery of Gwinnett County. We're one of the industries that are helping do so.
Lisa, if I'm a business owner in Gwinnett and I'm listening to this broadcast, I'm listening to the podcast, and I'm not a hotel operator.
Right.
What are some of the businesses that you would love to see start to partner with you, and how can they partner with Explore Gwinnett?
There's different ways, like for restaurants. Because people, you know, when you think about, oh, I'm going out of town, you're not like, hip, hip, hooray, I'm staying at the Hampton Inn. You're like, I'm going to Austin, Texas, and there's great restaurants and cool places to go. So for us, really unique retail destinations, great independent restaurants. Those are what we strive to work with more and more because that's really what people want. So, like, we do Gwinnett Restaurant Week in July. It's all independent restaurants. So that's the type of thing that we're really looking for.
And can they reach out to you and you can give them plenty of ideas of how mm-hmm. they can? I mean, obviously, the first thing I think of is like a coupon book or, hey, mm-hmm. you know, the things I always pick up at the rest stops and stuff like that. But what are some other things that a business owner might be able to reach out and look to do with Explore Gwinnett?
A lot of it is based on online. We have a website, which is exploregwinnett.org. And obviously, it's designed for visitors. But we look at our traffic. The local traffic on our website is huge because it's one of the comprehensive places to find out things to see and do. So that's probably the number one way for them to get involved. And the kind of bonus with us is a lot of bureaus are membership-based. We're not. Our primary focus will always be our hotels, but all the destination partners are part of the package.
I'm going to ask this as a little bit of a segue because you kind of touched on something. A lot of your web traffic is local. One mm-hmm. of the things I love about your rebranding, Explore Gwinnett, I've been around Gwinnett most of my life. I was born and raised in DeKalb, but now live in Gwinnett. There's an exploration of local people, things that they don't realize that are around. You start talking about unique retail situation. A lot of stuff that I don't know that's around the county. Is that one of the thrusts of Explore Gwinnett as well?
Oh, it's absolutely. That's a big part of it. I mean, our cities, all of our little cities, the great thing about them, you look at Suwannee, you look at Duluth, Buford, Lawrenceville, Peachtree Corners, all of them have different personalities. So you're not going to find the same thing in every one of them. And in some places, it's all antique galleries and typical restaurants. Well, not in ours. I mean, Suwannee is new and modern and contemporary. Lawrenceville is historic, arts-driven, things like that. So getting into those cities is definitely part of the exploration.
We're talking with Lisa Anders with Explore Gwinnett. Lisa, of course, Georgia is known for the movie industry. A lot of movies, a lot of films, a lot of TV shows are filmed in the Atlanta area. I understand that Gwinnett is now camera ready for those Hollywood studios. What does that mean?
Well, if you know anything about the movie industry in Georgia, it's huge. We're like the number two state. I mean, Hollywood is a little bit running scared of some of the southern states because of the tax incentive that the legislature passed. Gwinnett has a great reputation because we're so large and because we're so diverse, you can find practically anything. So camera ready basically means that between us and Partnership Gwinnett, which is part of the Chamber of Commerce, we've partnered together and we are sort of their resource. When they're looking for location shoots, they're looking for unique places, they call us first. We have a little subcategory of people that we contact, which include real estate agents and office building owners and things like that. And when we're like, hey, we're looking for an empty office building circa 1970 right off the interstate. So we, you know, things like that, that we have just resources. And we probably deal with about 30 location requests a month. Some of them are very random. And if some people know that the new OFS site is also the home of the new movie studio that's going to be built there. It's opening up there. And right now, Fast and Furious 7 is being filmed in its entirety on Jimmy Carter Boulevard, which is kind of cool.
Okay, very cool. And, okay, I wasn't sure what camera ready was. I thought maybe we had to all wear makeup all the time, so, you know, we're camera ready all the time, but that's good to know. Obviously, Gwinnett County continues to grow. Talk a little bit about the future growth and expansion. I understand there's some things happening at the Gwinnett Center. Talk about that real quick.
One of the biggest pieces of the puzzle that we're missing, we have a extraordinarily wonderful facility at Gwinnett Center, but we don't have a headquarters hotel. And that puts us at a competitive disadvantage. When you look at Cobb, the airport, Athens, Chattanooga, all of our competitors already have that. So we are in the process of hopefully, and I say this because it's not done yet, hopefully negotiating an agreement for a headquarters hotel that would break ground early next year. That will be our next step to really completing our destination concept. And as that hotel's built, we'll begin to see additional restaurants and hopefully nightlife, which is something that we really need in that area as well. Because it's not just about a building. It's got to be about the experience.
So, Lisa, we've talked about how you did a rebranding. Love the new name, Explore Gwinnett. We've talked about how it's more than just the Gwinnett Center. We've talked about camera ready. We're talking about moving forward with an HQ hotel. So let me just ask this one last kind of vision question. It's almost unfair to ask, is there anything else? But what else do you see? What are some of the future expansions that you guys see, improvements of what you're doing currently? Just kind of think ahead 3-5 years. What would you love to see Explore going? It's a tough question, but it's a wide open question. It's almost unfair because of all the things you guys have done.
Yeah, but there's still a lot more that we would love to see. As I previously mentioned, to have a fully sort of operating convention district from Sugarloaf Parkway to Discover Mills, where and not just places on the road, walkability, where you can essentially leave the convention center and walk to Discover Mills because you've got – or Sugarloaf Mills – because you've got the wide sidewalks and there's restaurants and bars along the way. That's my ultimate dream because that's really what draws people when you've got big conventions. We'll have – on in our master plan at least, we will expand the convention center. And that's something that we really, really need because a lot of our groups at a certain point, they start to outgrow us. And, you know, there's only so much you can do when they've taken over the arena, they've taken over the convention center, they're using tents in the parking lot. At a certain point, they're going to outgrow us. So with that headquarters hotel, we hope to also expand the convention center 2 or 3 years down the road. The growth of the Greater Gwinnett Championship, which is our professional golf tournament, started last year. They did really, really well. But we hope to see naming rights for that golf tournament in the next year or two and a permanent contract.
The Business Radio X Golf Tournament.
That's right. We can do it for $3.5 million.
Oh, never mind.
I have $3.5.
Yeah. But it's a great event. You know, we got 28 of the top 30 Champions Tour players last year. And the cool thing about it is even its first year – all the money went back to local charities. And its first year, it made, I think, $165,000 going back to local charities, which is huge. So as it gets more successful, it just helps Gwinnett.
All right, Lisa Anders with Explore Gwinnett, great to see you. Maybe next time when you come on, you can have something to talk about. There's just nothing going on with Explore Gwinnett, apparently. In all seriousness, for folks that want to know more about Explore Gwinnett and find out what's going on or want to get involved, where can they go for more information?
A couple quick ways they can go to exploregwinnett.org, which is our website. They can go to their Apple or their Google Play Store and download our free special events app, which is awesome because then you can find out everything going on in Gwinnett with a touch of your fingertips, and on our Facebook and all of our social media platforms, which are Gwinnett Events.
We need to have you come on more often. Talk about all the great things happening in
our
county.
There's a lot of really, really good things going on. We've had a great year this year, so it's been really good.
Great. Lisa, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, Mike.
Joining us now on Gwinnett Business Radio, joining us from the Yoon Law Group and from the Georgia Asian Pacific American Bar Association, it's Bonnie Hune. Good morning, Bonnie. How are you?
Good morning, Mike. Thank you so much for inviting me to come here today. This is really exciting, you know, to be able to represent not only my immigration law practice, but also the growing number of Asian Pacific American, I'm going to use the acronym APA because it's a mouthful, growing number of APA attorneys practicing here in Georgia.
Well, it's great that you're on the heels of Lisa here talking about the diversity in Gwinnett County. Tell us a little bit about your background and your thoughts about the Asian population here in the county.
Yeah, you know, my background, I am ethnically Korean, but I was born and grew up in the Philippines, actually. I attended an international school growing up. My parents had come to the school in the United States back in the 1960s. They always told me, Bonnie, you're going to go to school here in the United States. And so, surely enough, here I am. And I practice immigration law. I've been doing that since 1997. I opened my own shingle in 2009, and Yoon Law Group is now located on Peachtree Industrial Boulevard, right in Norcross. And I'd like to think I'm responsible for some of the tremendous diversity and immigrant population growth here in Gwinnett County. Gwinnett County is now a majority-minority county. Absolutely. And we have 83% growth in the number of Asian Pacific Americans here in Georgia just in the last 10 years alone. And if you look out here in Gwinnett County, you see that. I mean, it traveled up from Buford Highway. I came here in 1994 to Atlanta, and I thought, there are not going to be any Asians here. And to my surprise, I looked at Buford Highway and I was like, oh my gosh, we are here. And Buford Highway, you know, traveled up. And now Duluth truly is probably the Koreatown. You look at that H-Mart shopping center. You look at the Aussie market and the tremendous diversity and the business entrepreneurship of the immigrant communities here is really tremendous.
What is it about Gwinnett County that's attracting a lot of the and you do a lot of immigration law, so
that
you're,
is
as
correct.
You said, you're helping grow the county itself. But what is it attracts these
sure.
folks to Gwinnett County?
Well, I think Gwinnett County is tremendously attractive to small businesses and entrepreneurs. And immigrant populations here in Georgia, really the majority of them start with small business enterprises, maybe due to language barriers. But we're starting to see some of that change. You see, you know, Kia Motors coming to Georgia in general. Starting that huge plant, and we see very closely our neighbors, Hyundai in Alabama. So that definitely makes Georgia tremendously attractive to foreign businesses. A good friend of mine, Guan Ming Fang, she is Chinese-American. She works with a couple of Chinese corporations. She just signed probably the largest investment of Chinese manufacturers here, and I think they're going to be building here in Gwinnett County soon. So you see the attractiveness of Georgia. I think most of my clients, when I ask them, you know, why Atlanta, Georgia, they usually started up on the coast. They started in New York or LA because that's usually the landing point for immigrants. But they realized taxes are really high, it's really crowded. And then in 1996, when the Olympics came here, Koreans have a tremendous touchstone with the Olympics because they held the Olympics in 1988, and that was a tremendous economic boost in Korea. So I think Atlanta came on the radar right around 1996 for Korean Americans, and then you saw that population boom here, and also with a lot of Indian Americans. So the top three APA communities here in Georgia are Indian, Korean, closely followed by Vietnamese, Chinese. So I think the attractiveness of Georgia is kids can go to school here. It's a relatively, you know, affordable, much, much more affordable than the coast, and people can thrive by starting their own businesses.
Bonnie, talk a little bit more about business owners, entrepreneurship of the Asian Pacific American population, some of the obstacles, obviously language is one, you mentioned that, but some of the other obstacles. And then also, if you don't mind, talk a little bit also about non-Asian Pacific American business owners and how obstacles they might face and maybe some tips, ideas of how to reach out to the Asian American population here in Gwinnett County.
I mean, obviously, it's a tremendous market to reach out to. You know, and when you have like these big grocery stores like H-Mart, the Gwinnett International Farmers Market, the Aussie Market, and they initially started out by thinking they would attract an APA consumer base, but now they've become tremendously Latino. You see the diversification. I see, you know, the Russian and Eastern European kiosks within Gwinnett County, the farmers markets. I mean, I can get my Croatian flatbread at the Buford Highway Farmers Market now, which I never would have been able to do. So for me, some of the obstacles I've seen, you know, I know that we have, you know, it's political, certainly. We have, you know, sometimes there are some obstacles I see in terms of getting business licenses when, you know, people have to prove their legal immigrant status in order to get that. I know there's a struggle sometimes dealing with the actual clerks who are filling out those forms. You know, I do wish we would see a little bit more business-friendly atmosphere in that respect when we have a county where, you know, for as legal immigrants as much as undocumented immigrants, legal immigrants do sometimes get stopped as well and asked, you know, what is your immigration status here in Georgia? So, you know, I don't want to make this political, but I do want to say, look, Gwinnett County is attractive to immigrant populations for a reason. You see the face of it. It's exciting. You see the signs on Pleasant Hill Road, you know, Steve Reynolds Boulevard. I was just at the Gwinnett Convention Center a couple weekends ago and went to the Japan Fest. I was just struck by the tremendous number of people there, both Asian and non-Asian, just being attracted by that. And I think, you know, we need to capture that lightning in a bottle for non-Asian Americans as well to be able to cater to the growing consumers here in Gwinnett County.
We're talking with Bonnie Hune with the Hune Law Group, but you're also a member of the Georgia Asian Pacific American Bar Association.
That's right.
In fact, you're a board member. Tell us a little bit about that association.
You know, GAPABA, the Georgia Asian Pacific American Bar Association.
You got a lot of acronyms
there. I know, I know. You know, it's very wonky. Started actually back in 1992. So Judge Alvin T. Wong, he was the first APA judge elected here in Georgia. He and a handful of other attorneys, including Linda Klein, who is former president of the Georgia Bar Association, literally combed through the bar directory trying to find Asian names to start up a chapter. And one of the obstacles there was, you know, the last name Lee tends to be both Asian and Southern, right? So, you know, when you see, you know, Thurbert Walker
you've
Lee.
You've got Stephen just giggling over there now.
As opposed to, you know, Chong Lee, you know, that you're kind of making a judgment call there. But starting from the original chapter of 10 members, we now have probably close to 350. And I would say that that's growing. You know, we don't have time now to necessarily pore over the bar directory, but people are coming to us. We have a great Facebook page, GAPABA on Facebook. And, you know, we have tremendous number of senior level attorneys now. For example, Han Choi, he's the managing partner of Ballard's Bar, the first APA attorney to be a managing partner of a majority law firm here in Atlanta. We also have, in addition to Judge Wong, who was elected in 1998, Judge Carla Wong McMillan. She's the first APA female appellate judge, just appointed this year by Nathan Deal. He elevated her from Fayette County State Court. So, you know, when I see that growth of, you know, APA attorneys, we're not just, you know, faces of the interpreters or the faces of, you know, the clients here in the courts. We are also now slowly changing the face of justice here in Georgia.
And what are some of the goals of the APA Law Group? Obviously, yeah. You kind of talked about the history and how it's grown, and that was
right.
Getting critical mass is a huge goal.
Yes.
Now that it is a functioning and solid and good membership, what are some of the goals that the APA Group
sure.
has?
We like to support, of course, internally, you know, among the young fledgling attorneys as well, but recently we had an event called Building the Pipeline of APA Judges in Georgia. It was keynoted by Georgia Attorney General Sam Olens. We had Justice Benham from the Supreme Court, who's the first African-American appointed to the Georgia Supreme Court. And listening to his words were tremendously encouraging. And we were able to gather a lot of the APA prosecutors and public defenders there as well. Hopefully the upcoming pipeline for judges here in Georgia, because we're tremendously qualified. You know, listening to Justice Benham, he said, you know, you'll have to work longer. You'll have to work harder. You're going to have to stay later, and you're going to arrive earlier. And he is exactly right. You know, I remember early in my practice, I mentioned, you know, we're no longer the interpreters. I was almost across the board always asked, oh, are you the interpreter? You know, coming for the court, I'm like, no, I'm definitely the attorney. Here's my briefcase, right? So I don't get asked that anymore because people recognize me in the judicial system. People know me in the immigration courts downtown. They know, you know, Bonnie Yoon's practicing. And I think that is across the board evident with my other colleagues.
Bonnie, some wonderful stuff here. And for those that want to find out more about your law group, or the Bar Association, why don't you give us all the contact information?
Sure, sure. Of course, I have my website, www.yoonlawgroup.com. There's also GAPABA.
Let's spell out the...
Yeah, YOUNlawgroup.com. And GAPABA, GAPABA.org. But we're transitioning that to our Facebook page. So really, you just need to look up GAPABA, GAPABA. On Facebook.
Great. Bonnie, thank you so much for your time. Great to meet you.
Thank you.
All right. Bonnie Yoon with the Yoon Law Group and with GAPABA as well here on Gwinnett Business Radio. Joining us next on the show from Crown Communities, it's Chris Paradise. Chris, welcome to the program.
Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Chris, tell us all about Crown Communities. What does your company do?
We are a new home builder with a large presence here in Gwinnett County. We are actually based out of Conyers, but don't hold that against us.
You're building in Gwinnett County, so you're helping grow the community. So I know you're loving what you've heard from our first two guests about all the growth in this area.
Absolutely. A little background on Crown Communities. We started in 1999. We're owned by a gentleman, Frank Downey, a single owner, very involved with the company. We build currently in three states, Alabama, Georgia, and South Carolina. Seven communities actually here in Gwinnett County. Very exciting to hear Lisa say about all the visitors that she's bringing. They're going to love Gwinnett County so much that they're ultimately going to buy a home from Crown Communities.
There you go. How big is the company? How many homes have you built in the past, and where do you see the company going?
As far as the size of the company, we are the 12th largest privately held home builder in the United States. That's I've been with the company long enough to see it go from, you know, 200 closings a year to we'll close somewhere in the neighborhood of around 1,600 homes. We run typically neck and neck with a national home builder here in the metro area. And this year we're going to take on number one. And Gwinnett County is definitely helping us get to that point. Just an awesome, awesome. Gwinnett County is just blowing up with the home business. We're seeing... You know, levels of the 1980s. It's just with the expansion of 316, we as a company try to hover around the University Parkway. And with all the new interchanges going in, it's every day it gets better and better.
Chris, I have a breaking news story for you that I have to tell you, and I'm sorry to tell you this, but you have competition. There are other home builders out there. I'm sorry to break that to you. So I'm going to let you say, tell us what sets Crown Communities apart. What are some of the things that you guys do differently from your competition, and just what's your unique value add that you bring to the equation?
That's a great question, because in any business is going to have competition. It's just the fact of why we are in business. The competition is fun. You know, what Crown can offer is the value and the quality. We are a company that, as I mentioned, been in business since 99. We are very proud of the fact that we've never changed our name. In the downturn of the real estate market, we did not run and not pay back our debts and what we owed to bank. Our owner is very involved, as I mentioned, very proud of his name, and we paid, we kept, you know, along with the home building. We saw that as an opportunity to land bank. We bought a lot of pipe farms, as people like to call them, and in very prominent areas. We have a new community going in right by Rabbit Hill Park, right off of 316. Lisa mentioned the park system. And it's just we have positioned ourselves for the best locations, because we all know in real estate it boils down to location, location, location.
That's what they say.
So that's what we you know, where the value is with Crown Communities. The, you know, awesome warranty, great value, great price points, best locations.
We're joined by Chris Paradise with Crown Communities. The homes that Crown Communities builds, what kind of a sales price range do you build within? Do you do the higher end, or you're more in the middle? Where does Crown kind of have its niche?
That answer is yes. We go from price points of 180s. Yes, you can buy a new home for 180s, and then all the way up to the mid threes. And then within Gwinnett County, we will stretch from the north end of the county, Hamilton Mill area, down through Decatur, and going down into Snellville as well. So we have a very wide mix, kind of that stretch down through the county. As I mentioned, we backlog of lots in this county, probably about 1,000 lots that we still have yet to build on. Give you a great, if you want to know where your home values are going, and then in certain parts of the county 2 years ago in a downturn, we could buy a lot for, let's say, $35,000. We base pricing off replacement cost. What can we buy that lot for? That same lot 2 to 3 years ago is now costing us $70,000 to purchase.
Chris, talk to the consumer a little bit, someone who's looking to buy a new home. What should they be looking for that you know you can deliver? What are some, because I think sometimes we get caught up on, oh, they have cookies on the counter for me to eat while I'm looking at a house. What are some things, especially that,
that's what sells me.
Well, I know. That's why I said it. And me, it's got to be a little bit more, at least a cup of coffee with it. But talk to the new home consumer. What are some things they should look for?
And we'll bake cookies anytime you guys want. So, the
sold. Oh, I'm sorry.
The new home business is you know, we 2 years ago everybody was foreclosure. Those deals are gone, so it's all now shifted into new construction. There's what we did as a business is we bought foreclosed lots and built new homes on them. So you're getting a brand new home that nobody has ever lived in. You're going to be the first one who vacuums the carpet. It's that new car smell. That's what we can offer in a new home. And the diversity of our floor plans, you can walk into one of our neighborhoods and you'll have up to 12 different types of floor plans to use. So, you know, we're in one neighborhood. Builders used to build maybe 2 or 3 floor plans if the house is 15, 20 years old. Also, the big thing now is the energy savings. Home building, people go to a car lot and they look at a car and they look at the gas mileage. In the new home business, it's very rare where people come in and say, what is this house going to cost me to run? You know, we're seeing constant changes in energy efficiency. The house you buy today is half as expensive to heat and cool as a house was 20 years ago. So that's something to take really into mind.
Chris, tell us about some of the new communities that Crown Communities has now in the Gwinnett area. You mentioned the 316 corridor. Where are some of your newer communities going up right now?
Okay, we're currently have a couple communities in the Decatur area. The Harbins Road area, we have one community called Austin Commons and another one around the corner called the Delmar Club. Both of those feed into Archer High School, very good high school. I believe they're still undefeated. Last time I checked, I knew they were 5-0. I don't know. We'll see if they're 6-0. And then we are finishing up a community in there called River Springs. Down in the Snellville area, we have two communities called Kimberly Downs and then another one called Woodgate Hills. Those are both straddling Lenora Park down in that area. On the north end of the county, we have a community called The Grove at Hamilton Mill. It's right at the end of Hamilton Parkway and one of my favorite street names in all of Gwinnett County, Hog Mountain Road.
There you go. For those that want to find out more about those communities or find out more about Crown Communities, where can they get some more information?
Absolutely. We are on the web at crownus.com. We are app friendly. Or visit any of our communities. Our office phone number is 678-509-0555 as well.
Chris, thank you so much for your time.
All right, Mike and Stephen, thank you.
Chris Paradise with Crown Communities. Stephen is already on record for saying that he wants to steal your last name, Chris, so just be careful on the way out. Make sure you have your ID with you.
I don't even know how I would do that, Mike.
I don't either, but you like the last name.
Okay.
It is a cool last name, though.
It's a stupendous last name.
There you go. Why I keep bringing you into the conversation I'll never know.
You threw that softball out there, Mike, and I had to hit it out of the park.
All right, coming up next year on Gwinnett Business Radio, Mark Slip from a company called Golf for Millions. So this one has piqued my curiosity. Mark, welcome to the program. Tell us all about Golf for Millions.
Well, thank you very much, Mike, and thank you, Steve, for having me here today. Golf for Millions is a business that we started a couple of years ago. We are actually planning on launching in January of 2014, coincidentally. We are a national competition, and we provide golf courses all across the United States the opportunity to participate in our events, and we provide prizes weekly and daily at all the golf courses, and we culminate with a national competition where, similar to a hole-in-one competition, we are a little different. We provide a prize for being closest to the pin, and at our national event, if you are close to the pin, you get $1 million in cash, which is a little bit unique. And we hired a gentleman in Gwinnett County a few months ago, and he asked if we could launch an event here locally. So just down the road at the Georgia Trail, on Saturday this week, we're giving away a brand new car for close to the pin, which makes us a little bit different.
Interesting. So you work with golf courses. Those are type of your clients, I guess?
You could call them our clients. We're very similar to what you and Steve do here. We partner local businesses with local golf clubs, and we try to help local golf clubs build their business. And we realize that they're not exactly experts at developing relationships in the community. And so we've partnered the Georgia Trail with the PGA Tour Superstore, with AutoNation, and with Super or sports clips, I think it's called.
The haircut place.
That's correct. And so there are prizes and available from all the participants. But Golf for Millions is putting up a Fiat 500 for someone close to the pin this weekend.
Now, the national competition you started talking about that you're launching, are they all closest to the pin competitions? Or are there actually competitions of full rounds of golf? What are some of the different types of competitions that you offer at different golf courses?
Okay. The primary thing that we're doing, Stephen, is allowing everybody who's playing a round of golf to take a shot on a par 3 course or a par 3 hole on a golf course. And if their ball is closest for the day, then they will advance. And then they can go on and represent their club in a regional and then a district and then a national competition. And so there are prizes at each stage. And so that is the primary event, which is just a local. It can be done on a driving range, but typically it's done on a golf course on a par 3.
So let's say somebody's playing golf this weekend at the Georgia Trail, right down the road from us, as you mentioned, and they have this opportunity to possibly win a car. There's a cost involved?
Yeah, we partner also with local charities. So on the driving range, if you're playing, you can come out and take a shot for $1, and that's your entry fee. On the golf course, if you're playing a round of golf on any of the par threes, you can also participate for $1. And it's $1 a shot, and the prize is a car.
So let's say you get the closest that day or however long you're doing it for that day. You then go on to the next round.
That's correct. In this event, we have Ernie Boschers, who's the
good guy,
head pro at the Georgia Trail, is going to qualify for a national pro event. We also run events for pros, which are actual golf tournaments. But for the amateurs, whoever's closest for this event, whoever wins the car, is also going to be invited to participate in our next regional event to win another car. And if they're closest there, they'll also be able to come and have a chance to win $1 million for close to the pin. If they get a hole-in-one, they're going to get $11 million.
But either way, somebody's going away with a car this weekend.
Somebody at noon on Saturday. Friday is the final day on the driving range tomorrow. Today and tomorrow are the last days to enter on the golf course.
Interesting. Joining us again is Mark Slip with Golf for Millions. Mark, tell us about your background. I mean, were you in the golf industry? How did you get involved with Golf for Millions?
Well, I've been in the investment industry for 30 years, founded a number of different companies, and we came up with this idea to support a golf pro who was in need. And it was something that we recognized was not a well-understood phenomenon, what golf pros do for a living. Most of them show up at 7 in the morning, work until 7 at night. They help people as marriage counselors. They help people plan golf trips. They give lessons. They sell goods in the pro shop. It's a very often underappreciated role. And it's a very difficult job, and they work long hours for many years. And there's the industry as a business is a great industry to be in, but unfortunately, it's a bit on the decline. And golf in the United States, there's probably an overbuilding of probably 10% of the number of facilities. So a lot of the facilities that exist are really struggling. And the economic downturn in 2008 didn't help very much. And so we are excited to be able to partner with a lot of these facilities and help them drive business. A lot of young people or any people are excited for a dollar if they can win a car or $1 million. It's a cool thing to do.
It's not too bad. Now, what happens... I'm asking these off-the-cuff questions right now. Well, let's say it's a rainy day and there's only four or five golfers that come out. Is there still a chance that that person may – the car is going to be given away?
Yeah. It doesn't matter. We would like to see more people come out on Saturday.
Of course.
But we already have 20 finalists. And so everybody who's qualified so far is going to be showing up on Saturday. If it's a rainy day on Saturday, we'll have it on Sunday.
So obviously the way this works is once a course agrees to do it, there's a period of time that people can participate as they're playing, just regular people going through, and they get to play for a dollar. The one question I had is a lot of the proceeds you said go to charity. What are some of the charities that you guys work with?
In Gwinnett County, unfortunately, we're not working with a charity now. We've spoken with First Tee of Georgia, First Tee of Atlanta. We've spoken to Community Foundation of Greater Atlanta. And Ernie has helpfully helped us set up this first event in this area a year early. And so we've used this as a bit of a test model. We've created a fair amount of employment at the Georgia Trail for the event. And so we're providing some charity for AutoNation, which I don't think need the support. But in the future, what we're doing is we're helping whatever charity is elected by the participants at the local facility. So this is a bit of a test model that we're running here. Our participation has been a little low. There's been a lot of skepticism, as you can imagine. I think there are quite a few people who are not sure that we're actually going to hand the keys to a brand new car to somebody on Saturday. But
I was going to ask, based on this interview you're having with Mike and I, half of your battle is, no, we really are going to do this. It's a lot of explanation of, no, this can really happen. This is really happening. I would imagine you've got some good stories of people coming up and almost debating with you whether this is really true.
We've had a lot of them. Our local gentleman, Philip, was at the PGA Tour Superstore and had 20 people walk by the car we have there. And all of them said, under no circumstance are you guys giving away a car for being close. Because most of these events are run as a hole-in-one. And you know that nobody gets a hole-in-one at one of these events. The odds of getting a hole-in-one if nobody's watching you are 1 in 30,000. The odds of being close to the pin, there's 100% guarantee we're going to have a winner. And so people are thinking there has to be a catch. And so we're quite excited about handing the keys over to somebody on Saturday.
And that's exciting for a scratch golfer. You know, well, I'm not even
scratch.
A scratch. Yeah, not even a scratch. But just a real amateur like me where at least I feel like I actually have a chance. So that's because you never know. You may hit that one in a 1,000 shots.
The one shot that I've never hit, you know, that's got to be that close.
So Mark, you got this going. It's still in its infancy. It's still growing, of course, but you saw a need there to help the pros. You saw something that creates excitement at these golf courses, and you found a way to help charities as well. Where do you see this going? Where do you see Golf for Millions, say, in 5 years?
Well, we already have quite a bit of traction. We have about 1,500 pros signed up around the country, excited to participate starting in January. And we are hoping that the pros become very active and that the golfers get quite active. We would like to help young people who are interested in sport, interested in the community, find a way to get better engaged with their local community, and also help them identify people in other parts of the country to participate in events and programs.
Now, this is a national program, but obviously what you're doing here locally is with the Georgia Trail.
Yeah.
So let me ask you to talk a little bit about the Georgia Trail. Give them a plug because obviously they're supporting the nationwide program. They've been willing to be the test market and apparently have been willing to get people disagreeing with them that they actually are going to give away a car. So talk about the Georgia Trail, what you like about them. Just talk about their business.
Well, the Georgia Trail is a spectacular facility. Both of you have been there, obviously. Chip and Ernie have done a wonderful job of creating. It's a beautiful venue. It's got a great clubhouse, a great restaurant, fantastic driving range, a great practice area. And the actual course for an executive course It's probably one of the prettiest looking executive courses I've ever seen. And it has to be the best value golf course I've seen in 20 years. I haven't seen the ability to play a course of that quality for that lower price for 20 years.
Anything else that we want to touch upon before we let you go as far as, you know, this weekend or what's upcoming for Golf for Millions?
Well, one of the unique things about it, if you are a scratch golfer, Mike, you know,
scratch golfer actually means you're fairly good, right?
That's correct.
Okay, yes. I'm not a scratch golfer.
I'm a hack, okay. But go ahead.
Yeah. But in the short events where the person has to get a hole in one, the par three hole has to be at least 150 yards. Most of the holes that we have on the course are under 100 yards. And in our final event, it's only 120 yards. When the pros have come to take a shot and demonstrate for their students at the Georgia Trail, they say, watch how quickly I can get it close to the pin. Most of their first shots are more than 25 feet away. So several of our closest to the pins have been more than 35 feet from the hole, and those people have qualified. So we're hoping on Saturday, actually, that the closest is actually more than 50 feet, and that'll create a little excitement.
One last question. Do I have to actually be playing a round of golf, or can people just show up just to try this out, or is part of it getting sales for the Georgia Trail where, you know, they want you have to play a round of golf?
The primary thing is just to drive any type of business to the Georgia Trail. So you can bring your kids there to play mini golf, and you can take a single shot, or you can take as many shots as you want on the driving range. So anybody can come on the driving range tomorrow evening between 3 and 7. And after that, the event is closed, and it's just for the people who've qualified during the event to come on Saturday.
And I just want to congratulate Mark for coming up with a business name that is truthful advertising, Golf for Millions. That's literally what you're trying to do.
Mark, thanks so much. For people that want to find out more about this information and maybe be able to see where else you're going to be doing these type of events, where can they find more information?
They can find more information at our website, which is www.golf4millions.com.
All right. Mark, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you for having
me.
Great
to find out. Mark Slipp with Golf for Millions. Also a big thank you to Chris Paradise with Crown Communities. Keep an eye on your wallet on your way out to Chris. Bonnie Hune with the Hune Law Group and Lisa Anders with Explore Gwinnett. You're looking around, Steve. Just keep an eye on your last name. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
There's a lawyer in the room who will put me in jail.
Yes, well, a quick reminder that Gwinnett Business Radio can be heard throughout the day on the Gwinnett Business Radio X station, and that you can listen to any of our programs 24/7 by logging on to GwinnettBusinessRadio.BusinessRadioX.com. For Stephen Paradise.
Mike, go scratch golf this weekend and win a car and then go park it at your new house.
I'm going to check it out this weekend. That is awesome. I'm Mike Salmon. We'll see you next time right here on Gwinnett Business Radio.